You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
That whole thing clearly has been looked over by a lawyer, but that doesn't mean then I accept the apology as like, well, that's the first step in restorative justice. He's done it. It's more like this is the first step in returning his career. That's what this whole thing feels like right now. I'm going to do, the things. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous. It was really the alcohol more than anything that was causing this. I've been to therapy, so I've worked my way through all these issues. So I'm ready to get back and do important work. And here we go, kind of stuff. If there's instances of him straight up doing like physical assault or sexual assault on individuals, especially of minors, that should be criminally investigated. Absolutely, it should. I'm going to be honest with all of you. I watched this already yesterday when it came out, and I was really surprised to see not only the overwhelming amount of comments online being incredibly favorable, as in, oh, good job, you know, you're doing the right thing, all this kind of stuff. A lot of the communities that initially came out and were very right to condemn the actions of Andrew Callahan and to believe the survivors and to give them space to tell their stories, of which it seems that there are numerous amount of accounts coming forward. I have a handful of new accusations as well that I was going to talk about after this video. But to see this video come out and just have the response generally be, especially in like online lefty communities, that Andrew did a really good job. This is a very solid video. It sounds like he's taking responsibility for his actions. And that kind of stuff. And I couldn't disagree more. And one of the things is, I'm not here to demand a certain quantity of blood. I'm also not here to be like, oh, well, anyone who fucks up, here's the road to restorative justice. And here's my quantity of blood. I don't know if yours is different, but unless he's crying a certain amount, unless he's doing this a certain amount, I don't care if there is a certain amount of tears or if I see a certain amount of what I determine to be regret or sad. Like, I don't give a fuck about any of that stuff. Restorative justice means, first and foremost, that you are acknowledging something wrong that you've done, that you are going to directly address the people of whom you've harmed. You are certainly going to apologize to the victims in this case. You are going to work towards doing restitution in one form or another. Bettering yourself is another part of this process, and eventually work towards fighting against the very injustices that you used to be a part of reinforcing or causing. That's basically the restorative justice journey. So one of the first steps of that, of course, the acknowledgement of the things you did wrong. Unfortunately, this whole thing felt like it was overseen multiple times by lawyers to make sure that there's not a direct admission of guilt and that there is, of course, room to potentially avoid any kind of admission of wrongdoing. But anyways, we'll play it, we'll analyze it, explain it.
All right. I never thought I'd make a video like this. But,
clean up your room.
I think there's an important conversation to be had, and I just want to be fully accountable, honest, and transparent with all of you guys. So I'd like to start by thanking every single person who's came out in the past week to speak about different ways in which my behavior has made them feel uncomfortable or pressured during a sexual situation, and to people who said that I've made unwanted advances and had a hard time with rejection. I'm sure this was not easy to do. It's never easy to speak out. And it was hard for me to hear as well, because to be honest with you, up until this point, I didn't even really realize that I had this pattern that had affected multiple people. I'd also like to apologize for my silence. I think that when this stuff first came out, I was in a state of denial and shock. I was, you know, just riding the high for my movie that just came out. And then within 48 hours, I was denounced by my closest collaborators. And my name was printed in 40 different news outlets next to the words sexual misconduct. And I just kind of spiraled into a mental health crisis. I'm okay now, but I don't really think this is about me. This is about the people that I've affected. So I just want to express my complete sympathy, respect, and support for anyone who I've done wrong by. And I really want to do better and be fully accountable for everything.
So I want to point this out and stop here because, again, I'm not looking for, two fucks about whether or not he cries or two fucks about whether or not I believe he's sincere or not sincere. In terms of actually addressing what happens, if you're addressing the victims directly, because this is the one time that he's like speaking directly to the victims, that's not an apology or an admission of guilt. That's, I offer, what was it, my respect, you know, I'll play it one more time.
So I just want to express my complete sympathy, respect, and support for anyone.
Complete sympathy, respect, and support for anyone who feels that they were affected by me. That's not an apology. And that's like, lots of people got really mad on me online when I pointed that out. And I'm like, this should be the bare minimum. I'm sorry. We have to start somewhere. Like, my dudes, I'm speaking to the dudes who were primarily the people fighting me on this. We can do better. There should be more than a bare minimum of, like, you should be able to address the people directly and apologize to them. Now, I understand probably there's a lawyer behind this entire script who was like, yeah, don't do that. Because if you do that, then you are admitting to the guilt, and then at which point they might have the opportunity to sue you. So let's not do that part. But that's different than what people were claiming. People were claiming he apologized in this video. Near the very end of the video, which we will get to, there's a point where he says, and again, I sincerely apologize to anyone who felt affected by anything that I've done. That's not an apology to the victims. That can mean anyone. That can include his friends who felt affected by this. That can include you, the person watching the stream right now. Sure, you got, a crumb of apology if we were to distribute that equally amongst everyone.
One who I've done wrong by, and I really want to do better and be fully accountable for everything that I've done. So that being said, I want to make a few things clear. I've always taken no for an answer. As far as consent, I've never overstepped that line. But, you know, I think I want to have a more nuanced and important conversation about power dynamics, pressure, and coercion. Because, you know, like I said, I think for a long time, I was behaving in a way that I actually thought was normal. I thought that, you know, going home from the bar alone made you a loser. I thought that persistence.
So I grew up, I'm older than Andrew, so I grew up with even toxicity of male thought. Like, trust me, I grew up with the same shit, okay? Dudes are supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be able to get the girls, you're supposed to be able to get the chicks, you're supposed to be able to slay if you're a real man, all that kind of, yeah, I grew up with that shit, but that never made me follow people home. Like, the thing that really sucks about this, that really fucking sucks about this is that, like, there's multiple stories outside of the ones that he acknowledges at the beginning where he's basically like, in terms of coercion, I may have, had coerced consent rather than regular consent. And that's an important discussion, and I want us to explore this. And obviously, I realize now the error of my ways kind of thing. Those are a couple of the stories. You're also accused of physical violence, of trying to sexually assault someone in a vehicle who had to obviously drive erratically and start hitting you to try and get you to stop. You're accused of following people home and scaring the ever-loving fuck out of them. Other people in other towns have accused you of either trying to take home minors and or even sleeping with minors. Like, there's a lot more things down the list of stuff to suddenly be like, I thought that it was normal to think this way. And like, yeah, there's a lot of fucked up shit that we normalize, especially just as a culture. And you know, speaking to that, obviously, good stuff, awesome. We should be having those kind of conversations, but that's not it.
Was a form of flattery, and I thought that, you know, if at first somebody was reluctant, you know, they're playing hard to get, just try harder, and if you think someone's feeling you, you know, make a physical advance and see if they go with it. And I think that especially I realized when so many young people, especially young men, rushed to defend me when this stuff first started coming out, that this type of sex pest behavior is normalized, and a lot of people think this stuff is normal when I don't think that it is. And I think that I want to be fully responsible for not having a fluid understanding.
And that little part there. That's like one of the parts I agree with. I totally agree with that statement. I think it is an important conversation. I think a lot of that shit is normalized. And I think obviously if we could have those kind of talks, that part is important. But again, that in and of itself, you haven't gotten to a lot of the worst things that you've been accused of.
Of consent and what enthusiastic two-way consent looks like. That being said, a lot of the things that have been said online about me are not true. A lot of things are missing really important contextual information that I think would change people's interpretation of a lot of these situations, but I'm not here to invalidate anybody's lived experience.
His lawyer also suggested that some of this might be related to money, which was a massive yikes.
If you feel pressured, you know, that's just what it is. I hope that young people and young men in particular can use my mistakes to learn and move through life with a better understanding of consent. As far as what I have planned, I'm not really sure what comes next. I mean, obviously, you know, reporting is my one true love, and I'm 25 years old, and I have my whole life ahead of me. But I really think that I need to do some serious work on myself and figure myself out. So I'm going to start therapy sessions pretty much immediately.
And again, like, yeah, there's no question there's a problem with negative masculinity, the way we reinforce stereotypes, the way men are supposed to act and engage in a certain way. We need to work towards destroying that. That being said, the majority of men are not accused of rape. The majority of men are not accused, it's one of those things where, like, yes, those things do exist and they need to be talked about. But, like, you are accused by a number of people in a number of different areas across the United States of engaging in acts that range from sexual harassment, following people home, all the way up to straight sexual assault. Like, it's not exactly a simple case of just like, well, you know, I was raised to think that if you go home from the bar alone, you're a loser. And I was also raised to think that, like, you know, if someone is showing interest, you make an advance. And then so because of that, you know, and also the alcohol plays a large part in this. And so that's the other reason.
Also, not to blame alcohol, but I truly believe that alcohol was a contributing factor to my poor decision making. And I think that alcohol in general has had a devastating impact on my life. So I think I'm going to...
Am I not even thinking that respecting boundaries and taking no for an answer is common sense? Well, only in the sense that, like, that's the reason last time we were talking about Andrew, I wanted to play that video on enthusiastic consent as well as other forms, is that I think sometimes people take for granted, especially dudes, that it's going to be very easy for a woman at all times in every situation to just be like, no, and be very clear about that. Like, no. And so it's like, oh, okay, she has said the word no. No means no. And so this is the end of the conversation. And then we're done. Because, like, I can definitely relate to other parts in my life where someone's asking me something and I directly be like, no. Like, when do you do that in normal life? If someone's like, hey, by the way, can I borrow your car tomorrow? I need to use it, blah, 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 to help out. I know I didn't drive that great last time. Are you going to be like, no? Or are you going to be like, I'd love to, it's going to be in the shop tomorrow. Unfortunately, like, something's wrong with it. Next time. Yeah. Sorry. Super sorry. Maybe ask someone else, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, because people don't do that. They don't act that hyper confrontational at all times. So it's just like a clear, oh, no has been said. No. Especially if you start adding other factors, if you add alcohol, if you add the individual in question is scared and or nervous, perhaps they fear for their safety, any other multitude of reasons, it may make it more difficult for an individual to just straight up be like, no, you know, and straight up establish that boundary. So now we know, you know, no means no.
Make the decision to join the 12-step program for Alcoholics Anonymous. And during this journey into sobriety, I want to take a serious step back from public life and, like I said, figure myself out. And I hope that this reaches the ears of anyone who's felt affected by me. I'd love to reach out to you, or you can reach out to me, even just for me to say I'm sorry. And I really apologize, and I appreciate you all. I also want to apologize to my closest collaborators, you know, my friends, my family, and people who will have to wear this stain on their career.
See, that's an apology. And again, I'm assuming the first part and the reason he doesn't directly apologize to the victims is because, legally speaking, the lawyer would have been like, don't do that. If you do that again, that's the admission of guilt. So you don't offer your respect, your empathy, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, be very careful. But right here, it's like, I'd like to directly apologize to all of the other content creators who I was good friends with, you know, Hassan, H3, all these other big people. You're the ones I really let down.
Forever. You guys don't deserve this. And, I love you guys. That being said, if you never want to watch Channel 5 again, I understand. I hope you remember the missions of radical empathy and media literacy that we have tried to put into the world through our coverage. All right, that's all I want to say.
So that ending part, people have actually pulled up with transcript to be like, Lance, he did apologize, your line. And I got to pull it up again, because the way he words it is not an apology to the victims. And that's like, this should be the bare minimum, everybody. There has to apologize for my silence. Okay, let's keep going. I'm sorry, I want to apologize. I appreciate you all. I also want to apologize to him, my closest collaborators. Okay, so here it is. And I hope this reaches the ears of anyone who's felt affected by me. I'd love to reach out to you, or you can reach out to me, even just for me to say I'm sorry and I really apologize and appreciate you all. I also want to apologize to him. This is not apologizing directly to the victims. This broad sentence can include you right now in the chat. If you felt in some way affected by him. If you felt affected by me, I apologize to you. People who watch him can be affected by him. People who don't know who he is can be affected by him. People, if you have to explain, oh yeah, there's this guy on the internet, Channel 5. It's like, oh wow, this story is affecting me because it's being told to me, right? It's such a generic statement that, again, I'm just saying this has to be the fucking bare minimum. You can't, like, and the amount of people who are like, oh, Andrew just knocked this one out of the park. This is golden. I don't care whether or not he's sad enough. I don't care whether or not he's tearful enough. It matters for the restorative justice that I'm sure most people want to see, that he acknowledges what he did was wrong and apologized to the victims, but directly. This story also came out, I think, the day or two before him. More women accuse YouTuber Andrew Callahan of sexual misconduct and assault. His lawyer won't let us publish her response on his behalf. In video posted online over the weekend, the Seattle-raised documentary filmmaker Andrew Callahan was accused of assault and sexual coercion by multiple women in incidents that allegedly date back several years. The stranger spoke to one of those women and two others who have yet to come forward publicly. Callahan, who gained a following for his YouTube channel All Gas No Breaks and Channel 5, as well as his most recent HBO documentary, This Place Rules, where he conducted man-on-the-street-style interviews with election deniers, responded to a request for comment on the specific allegations reported in this story by way of his lawyer, who stated that the response was on background and not for publication. Callahan had initially responded for sure via text when asked on January 10th if he would provide comment. However, in a statement from his legal representative provided to Variety on January 12th and then later to The Stranger on January 13th, he didn't specifically deny any of the allegations, though he did make vague references to money being involved. We've all heard the lawyer's statement already. Since then, other women have posted similar stories of coercion. The stranger spoke to two of them, both from the Seattle area. Those women said Callahan tried to coerce them to perform sexual acts, and they provided screenshots of contemporaneous messages recounting their allegations against the filmmaker. In a phone interview, Caroline said she met Callahan in the March of 2021 when she traveled to Miami to shoot spring break footage for a project. I was under the impression that Andrew had nowhere else to stay that night. I now realize I was naive. At the time, I thought my only option was to cave in to what he repeatedly was asking of me and ignoring all my different versions of no, I'm tired. Sorry, I have to be up early. Is it okay if we just go to sleep? I'm really tired. I thought I would just make it to the night end, frozen in fear. I thought that was my only option. Caroline said this night brought back trauma from when she'd previously been assaulted. The first time I was sexually assaulted by someone else, I was 14. I don't need to read your sexual assault story. It's a little more personal than the magazine should have published. I was sure that if they hadn't, I would have been the next target to take the anger out, since he didn't fully get away with what he wanted. When a situation happened with Andrew years later, I was immediately brought back to the moment when I was a child. A lot of skeptics are asking why I didn't do more to prevent myself from being coerced. It was fear. You might think that you know someone, but you never know how they might react if you don't give them what they want. The day after Callahan crashed at her place, Caroline told multiple friends about the incident. She recounted the story in a text message a few months afterwards, and two of her friends say they recall discussing it the day after. Caroline also sent Callahan several times, or texted Callahan several times. In one of the replies, he said, "The last thing I want to do is make you feel any sort of pressure whatsoever." In those messages, he later acknowledged that their encounter and his persistence had brought up trauma from past situations. This wasn't the first time that Callahan allegedly pressured someone with unwanted sexual advances. Anna, a pseudonym for another woman who spoke to the stranger, said she went to the same middle school as Callahan in Seattle. Later in summer 2016, when she was 18 and Callahan was 19, she said she matched with him on a dating app, Tinder. She said the two of them talked a little bit and then planned to get coffee. These plans were eventually changed to going back to a nearby apartment on Capitol Hill. From the jump, I was caught off guard by how quickly the tone of the evening shifted. At one point, Andrew, I assume purposefully, poured wine on my shirt and then proceeded to take off my shirt and then lick the wine off my bare chest. This happened very abruptly and I completely froze up. I felt unsafe and incredibly violated. She said she hadn't intended for the meeting to become sexual and subsequently tried to explain that to Callahan, who she said remained persistent, taking her hand and making her touch his penis. After providing many physical cues of my discomfort, I eventually made it clear verbally that I was not interested in continuing things. He wasn't taking a simple no for an answer, and consequently it turned into me trying to make up an array of excuses as to why I didn't want to have sex. He kept insisting that I needed to get him off because I was giving him blue balls by not having sex with him. He repeated that phrase many times, Anna said. It was a long back and forth of him trying to guilt me into sexual acts. Anna said that she eventually gave Callahan a ride to her friend's house because she just wanted the night to be over. I left the experience feeling violated, confused, and incredibly disrespected. For years, I've tried to write this off as an incident which I gave Andrew the benefit of the doubt, that he has some sort of dumb 19-year-old, didn't have any grasp of the concept of consent yet, and that hopefully he had grown up and learned better. But after seeing the following he had amassed and learned about his other accounts with women he's harassed and assaulted, it feels essential to come out about this experience and hold Andrew accountable for his pattern actions. In an interview, one of Anna's friends said she told him about the incident at the time. Anna also showed the stranger screenshots of messages she sent to multiple people between 2019 and 2020 outlining these same allegations. And again, it's all additional information just so people believe her. Andrew never addressed any of this, by the way. I haven't even seen other people address these stories that came out of The Stranger. It's kind of like, now the apology's out there. That's the new narrative. Now we've moved on to that. At first, he's a very charismatic person, easy to get along with, Jane said. Basically, right off the bat, I let him know I wasn't interested. After the first meeting, Jane exchanged messages with a mutual friend who said Callahan was known for being frisky, and Jane said she left the meeting left her feeling sus. However, the following year, she ran into him again when they were both in the Lower East Side bar in New York, she said. I'd already been out with some of my friends throughout the day, so we were really drunk, Jane said. Everybody was hanging out. At first, everything seemed normal. At some point, we went to upstairs area. There were some other people there at first, but they left. Then he just started making moves on me, kissing me, groping me, moving my hands to touch him, forcing my head down. She said she wasn't sure how to respond, but she tried to get away from Callahan, only for him to follow her. I stood up and just walked out of there and went straight to the train. I was sitting there waiting for the train, and Andrew showed up. He had followed me there. Well, I remember him saying throughout the night that he had been staying somewhere nearby. He also was saying it wasn't a good situation and asking if he could go stay where I was staying. He was pleading with me to go with him. I yelled at him and told him to go away. I was like, leave me alone. He did leave, and I felt part of the reason he did was because there were other people on the platform and they heard me screaming. In messages she sent to a friend shortly thereafter, which she shared with the stranger, she described recalling the encounter as a personal hell of my own flashbacks and that she was traumatized. When Jane returned to Seattle a little after a week, she said she ran into Callahan again. He just came up to me, sat right next to me, and was being really touchy. I felt frozen in that moment. Jane sent Callahan a message the next day where she said, our interaction got a bit uncomfortable yesterday, and I'm only interested in being platonic friends with you. Callahan responded by saying, yeah, I didn't think yesterday was uncomfortable, but he also said that he was drunk as fuck in New York before sending a heart message along with a request to see her again. Jane said his response made her uncomfortable and she blocked him after that. She felt he dismissed her concerns. I remember hoping that he would take accountability for making me feel uncomfortable and making moves while I was too drunk to consent, and it was not an easy message to send. I felt that his response brushed it off. We'll update the story of Callahan or his attorney respond and record for our request to comment. If you have anything to story, email us. These two stories, by the way, which are, I guess, relatively new in the sense that, like, they were alluded to in some of the messages that other people were talking about, and now you actually have more of the details. It's more simply than just, like, ignoring unwanted advances. This is straight sexual assault. In one case, intentionally pouring wine on someone and then pulling the shirt off and licking it off. And again, these are accusations. This is just one side of the story. Andrew has said that there's obviously more, if people knew some more context to these stories, it might change their opinion of it. But we're seeing a pattern, right? You're seeing a multiple instances of a variety of witnesses in different scenarios, different times, and in different areas, claiming a similar pattern of constant forcible both coercion and physical advances to the point where people are straight running away from him, and he's following them to train stations, trying to go home with them. Allegedly. But all that being said, like, none of this stuff was addressed, you know? None of this stuff was brought up. And I know everyone is, like, you know, in a weird place. Their hero is suddenly a monster before their very eyes, or they just really want things to go back to normal, and or they feel that this is somehow acceptable. But this, we have to hold everyone to a higher standard. Like, everybody. It can't just be something of the severity has come out, and then a very generic statement is made about how we have to have a conversation about things like consent and coerced consent. And I was simply raised to believe that, you know, this is the way a man should be, and alcohol played a really big part in this, and that I'm going to be seeking treatment for my alcoholism and all that kind of stuff. And I totally understand if you can't watch my content anymore, and obviously I'm really sorry. I really deeply want to apologize to all the fellow content creators, massive content creators, who have obviously been in some complicated heat because of all this. So yeah, I mean, like, that can't be the applause. Like, oh good, that's restorative justice. That there's the gold star. Andrew certainly set the standard. And again, I don't care about reaching a certain level of forgive me tears or any shit like that. It would go a long way just to actually acknowledge what you've done and directly address the survivors, and you know, work towards not only raising awareness about this kind of stuff. If you have to have a public spotlight still, well, if that's what you have to do, then use it towards, again, fundraising for women's shelters, bringing attention to abuse survivors, that kind of stuff. It's what he has to say to not incriminate himself. Yeah, I know. I'm saying, like, that whole thing clearly has been looked over by a lawyer. But that doesn't mean then I accept the apology as like, well, that's the first step in restorative justice. He's done it. It's more like this is the first step in returning his career. That's what this whole thing feels like right now. I'm going to do, you know, the things. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous. It was really the alcohol more than anything that was causing this. I've been to therapy, so I've worked my way through all these issues. So I'm ready to get back and do important work. And here we go, kind of stuff. If there's instances of him straight up doing like physical assault or sexual assault on individuals, especially of minors, that should be criminally investigated. Absolutely, it should. You know, I was kind of curious what people were saying.
Listen, I wanted to start the show today to just acknowledge these Andrew Callaghan allegations. I've asked Doug and Vic to step out because I didn't want them sitting behind me, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to look. But I also want to apologize for not speaking about this, for any of us speaking about this. I think, you know, it's been a very painful week.
That's really good of him to do, by the way, just as a, you know, lesson, if you have people who work with you in your office and you're about to do something serious, like talk about sexual assault or sexual abuse, don't force your employees and or your coworkers, if they're not comfortable, to have to sit there and stand there with you, especially unprovoked, worse than anything. But yeah, that's pretty much like the most mature thing you can do is, like, if you'd like to step out for this following thing, I'm gonna have to talk about something very difficult
for us,
especially if you've got like a silly show, right? Like the same thing, like if I had other people who worked with me, if I was doing this beyond myself, you know, and it's like, oh, it's the Serfs, he's gonna do the voices, whoop, whoop, all that kind of stuff, right? I would definitely be like, yeah, so this next part, we're not doing the voices and the sound effects.
It's a very difficult experience to process it, and we didn't want to just rush out and say something that felt insincere or you know, kind of like crisis person told us what to say kind of thing. That I don't think that's helpful. And we just want to wrap our heads around it and talk about it and try to understand it more. But of course, we're aware of the allegations. We take them very seriously. And it's just been very sad and just, you know, disappointing, to say the least. I just want to clarify a couple things. We, you know, have no professional relationship with Andrew at this time and have no plans going forward to have any relationship with him. Our role with him is we produced the film that a lot of you guys have seen. You know, there's been a little confusion about the Channel 5 name. That's Andrew's name, Channel 5. It has nothing to do with Eric and I's channel.
It's weird that this comes off a bit of as a bit because of Tim's content. Isn't that strange, hey? Like, if you actually know about Tim and Heidecker, like, all they do is just, like, surrealism and surreal horror and all this kind of weird alt-comedy. Like, it's not even, like, a comedy you can easily recommend to people. It's kind of like, well, if you have friends who are super weirdos and, like, alternative comedy, this could be something they like, where it's both funny and haunting. But then, yeah, when you have to actually give, like, a very serious speech, obviously.
Five name. Another. It was a bit of confusion for us as well, but
maybe ask your dog if they would like to leave the room.
We did produce the movie, you know, and I feel terrible that this film now has these allegations tied to it because some very good people worked very hard on it.
That's got to be also brutal. Like, that's the thing people need to remember about all this is that, like, movies, they're collaborative efforts all the way from the ground up. There's a ton of people behind the scenes. I say this to some who's worked in the shittiest positions in cinema before, you know, PAs, fucking grips, just running around doing stuff for other people. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of manual labor too, a lot of, like, lifting a lot of heavy stuff and lighting and equipment in and out of trucks on long ass 16-hour shifts. Those are the people behind the scenes, the blue collar workers, whatever you want to call them, who get completely fucked over when the star at the center of an entire thing turns out to be a sexually assaulting weirdo, you know, like it's, and not only being a sexually assaulting weirdo, but potentially doing it on tour with multiple people in multiple different states and completely, you know, destroying everything that you had built. And so, you know, that's when other people have to come out and be like, yeah, this doesn't speak to all the other people who put hours into something and believed in it.
But it's just a movie, and I want to say that we believe these women that came forward and of course, totally condemn the type of behavior that Andrew's being accused of. And I believe that's up to Andrew to address these allegations and do so openly and honestly. And I really hope he does, you know, do that as soon as possible. And that's really all I have to say about it right now. We're not going to talk about it during the show. That's why we didn't start with the opening. That's why Vic and Doug aren't here. I'm going to try to, as Vic says, put these negative thoughts and acknowledge them and try to have fun and you know, know that this is something that Andrew has to address. I just also finally want to say, you know, I have a daughter, and as I read about this stuff and learn about this stuff, it's the last thing in the world that I'd want to have happen is you know, what's been talked about in this with these allegations. And I have a son, and I want to make sure that as we raise him, my wife and I raise him, that we raise him to understand and respect women and grow up to be a good and honorable person. And finally, I just wish, you know, peace and love for everybody involved. It's a terrible situation, but it's happening, you know, in real time, and we're trying to process.
There's a new video that just came out.
I want to talk about my experience with Andrew Callahan. I was really shocked to read what was coming out in the news about him because it was very similar to my interaction with him. I want to be clear that he did not traumatize me in this situation. When I look back on that experience, I thought it was kind of funny that this guy who's got so many followers was like kind of creepy. like you know, I don't know. I look back on it and I'm not met with feelings of being violated, but I know a lot of women did have experiences that were worse than mine and did feel violated. And I think that putting my story forward is important because it just further emphasizes the pattern of his behavior. So about 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, Andrew was in Gainesville, Florida, which is where I was living. And he was asking if anyone knew where this guy Dennis was, because he wanted to interview him. Dennis was this guy who wore little mini shorts and would scream things at people on street corners. And he was kind of like a meme of Gainesville, and he wanted to interview him. I saw that on his story that he was asking if anybody knew him or where he was. And as I was reading it, Dennis happened to walk right in front of my car. And so I swiped up on his story and said, oh my God, like, you know, he's right here. Check this road. He's right by my house. And he responded with something about pulling up to a bar, that he was at a bar and wanted me to meet with him there. Now, I want to understand something. I have screenshots of some of the DMs with him. I don't have screenshots of everything. And I wonder if you guys know if it's possible for somebody to delete a conversation on their end and it doesn't show up on your Instagram anymore. Otherwise, I guess I deleted them. I don't know why I would have. But I did screenshot a couple of the DMs, so I'll include those here. Pause to read.
You are in my hood. Are you going to the protest? Instagram story. Oh my God, check out Archer Road. You're inside my hood. I legit live there where he hangs out. Thanks for the info. Pull up to the bar. Lamau, are you at Main Street? I have a puppy with me. That's cool. Pull up.
So, for some context, he was at this bar in town. And my puppy was visiting with me. He had really bad separation anxiety, and I couldn't leave him. And I was saying that to him. I said, I can't. My puppy's with me. And in the later DMs, which, okay, I guess go to part two.
Oh, it's a three-parter.
Okay, part two. In later DMs, which again, I don't know why they disappeared, but that's all I have. He was just, like, being pretty insistent, like, just come, bring your dog. That's fine. Just bring your dog. Come to the bar. And I thought, okay, like, this is a unique experience. I'll just go for one drink and it'll be fine. And so I drove down to the bar and I walk in and it's like all guys there. There wasn't any really many women hanging around. And I saw him. He immediately knew who I was from my Instagram, and he gave me a hug and was, you know, talking to me. And I go to order myself a drink, and there was a drink on the menu that was called the Slutty Redhead. And I kind of laughed at that, and he asked me if I was a slutty redhead. And I said, haha, no. You know, no. And like, you know, I thought that was whatever. And we moved on in the conversation. And then I finished my drink. It was time for me to go. And I was like saying goodbye. And I got a picture with him, which I'll insert that here. So that was us at the bar, me saying goodbye. And so I tell him I gotta go be with my dog. This was during the time when he was driving the RV around, I think. And he was like, oh, you should come back to the RV with us.
Bad joke, not the worst, but everything ends up. Oh, I mean, that's in terms of, you know, things he's done, that's just cringe. Someone's like, oh, the new story came out about Andrew Callahan. He used his pickup line and be like, oh, yeah, that's cringe. But that's nothing beyond cringe.
And I was like, oh, you know, I can't really do that. I gotta go. And he's like, no, you should. You know, and I'm like, I drove here, like, I'm good. And he says, well, let me drive you home then. Or he either said that or we'll take an Uber together. I don't remember. It was, like I said, like 3 years ago. But he was saying, like, no, just, like, I'll take you home. And then he was saying, why don't you come back to the hotel with me? And I said, no, again. And he repeated that a few times. And I, you know, I left. So, you know, like I said, I was not traumatized by this experience. However, I do think that there is certainly a pattern of behavior here. I don't know. I was shocked to hear about what happened because I'd never heard anything but positive things about Andrew. And it was just so bizarrely familiar.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't actually an accusation of anything inappropriate whatsoever, but it's just more like she's, I think, adding to, hey, by the way, I've heard all these stories that range from, sexual coercion to sexual assault to physical assault. I just want to let you know that I also met him, and it seemed like he was, like, a little bit pushy, I guess. The other one that just got posted that says, an anonymous accuser has come forward accusing Andrew Callahan of stealthing.
Okay, so I have a really hard time focusing. Like I said, I'll do my best to be quick here, but if you're going to get upset with all the parts that I'm going to have to create to speak openly and honestly, then that's just how it's going to be. And I appreciate you taking the time to listen and understand and respond however you choose to respond to this. So I originally matched with Andrew on Hinge, where I got permanently banned from, as well as Tinder, due to the nature of my work as an adult performer, and just being open about it, they consider that, like, you know, you're promoting yourself. I just had my Instagram attached, so whatever. It happens to us on all platforms. I reached out to him on my main Instagram, which later got taken down as well. And so the original proof of me reaching out, like, I don't have that to send. Doesn't really matter. I have our text messages. I'm not going to show you his phone number to prove it. If someone who knows him and his phone number wants to prove it, they're welcome to. But he and his main circle should probably know who I am at this point. But yeah, anyways, when I reached out on Instagram, he had asked, you know, where did we match? I told him LA. And he said, cool, he's in New Jersey at the time visiting family, and we'll be back that weekend. We can meet up at a bar downtown where I used to live nearby. That night, reached out to him. He said he got busy editing. He needed just a few more hours, which I was like, cool, I'm going to go out to eat with my cousins. Afterwards, dropped my kid off with the babysitter, got ready, looked cute, ready to go out. And then he was gonna come by my place. I figured he'd pick me up and we'd go together. But he was walking up to the door, pretty much wearing pajamas, and was like, all right, we're gonna go upstairs. So I asked him about the bar, if we're gonna go out still. And he's like, no, I figured it's late now. We might as well just go up to your place. And, you know, I was hesitant, but I did want to hang out with him. So, you know, I invited him up. I figured we'd talk and, like, I know the implications of inviting someone up to your place late at night, but honestly, he seemed harmless, and, you know, a person with a platform of any extent, you know, they have an image to uphold, so I figured, you know, he wasn't gonna, like, harm me. I didn't think that was a possibility. So we go upstairs and just get to know each other a bit. You know, he mentioned his work, and I'd never been a follower of his or, you know, actively seen his stuff. I recognize him, of course, because of Minneapolis.
Relic Gnome, implication, I just assume you invite someone over to talk. Well, there's a large section of the internet that feels and tries to propagate this idea that if you invite someone over to your house, if you are an adult and you're inviting someone else who's an adult over to your place who are both within, like, say, the sexual attraction range of each other. It's not like, you know, a gay person and a non-gay person. It's two people who are attracted to each other, whatever. Then there's an implication that there could be a sexual encounter therein. And so if you don't want to have a sexual encounter, don't ever invite them in. There's a section of the internet that's really trying to propagate that idea. And what I try to tell people is there's a huge difference between saying to someone, hey, by the way, you shouldn't go to X location because X location is known for being very dangerous. You shouldn't go to this specific bar. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It's known for violence. It's known for drugs. It's known for sexual assaults. You probably shouldn't go there. So that's different than after the fact, after something has happened, then being like, well, I mean, you probably shouldn't invite people over to your house because if you do that, this could happen, right? Like, sexual assault is always 100% at the fault of the sexual assaulter. There's no, like, maybe you were dressed slutty, maybe you had too much to drink, all this kind of shit like that. And so if someone wants to come out and be like, well, in the first place, you know, I'm going to use they because I don't know what their pronouns are. They shouldn't have invited him in the house in the first place. So that was your first mistake. Like, none of that matters if someone's been assaulted at that point. You're not looking to be like, well, how could you have stopped this? Well, the person couldn't have sexually assaulted them. That's one way.
That's protests. I was a journalism major. And so, yeah, I respected that. He interviewed someone that I went to high school with in Florida. So our high school group chat message,
like Vampire Rules, except
is where yeah. I think I first saw him. Anyways, yeah, I matched with him because, you know, he's pretty much my type. He looks like a few of my exes, unfortunately. But yeah, I didn't, you know, initially reach out to him because of like his work, you know, but so I was telling him about my high school friend that he interviewed, and pretty much after that conversation, he just, you know, went in for a kiss pretty aggressively. Didn't ask, but, you know, I didn't stop him. I kind of hesitated, and then we started hooking up, and, you know, I did like him. I was attracted to him, and so, you know, after hooking up for a few minutes, he signaled, you know, he wanted to do something else. I pretty much told him that I was on my period and, you know, I didn't want to do anything more, but he pretty much was like, oh, he didn't mind. Like, we can continue. So, you know, I just kind of felt like, you know, all right, I guess we can continue. We're already here. So, yeah, after a little bit of what I could describe as his version of a hookup hotshot, that's I think pretty much what he might, if you recognize or understand, you know, that is pretty much, that was what happened from there. And he asked to film the interaction, pretty much like, yeah, you know, okay, I do that for work, but I just kind of felt like in a weird position. I did hesitate, was like, no, I don't think so.
Jesus.
I'm just, you know, like, I don't film content with people. I'm a solo creator only. But he said, it's okay. He'll send it to me. Don't worry. And so then I was like, okay, fine. As long as you're using my phone, you know, I'm safe. Like, I could send it to you or not, whatever. Delete it. And so, yeah. Anyways, he did that with Flash. Okay, whatever. We continued afterwards. We didn't have penetrated sex because I was on my period and that's a little sacred to me, with my beliefs. And, yeah. When we were done, I did say I was going to send him the video, and we held hands and, yeah, talked a lot more. He looked around my place. I guess he noticed the picture of my kid. And when he noticed that, because he didn't still have me on Hinge, you couldn't see I was a mom. And I realized that. But he started talking about how he wanted kids and a family and how he like really wanted that for his future. Like while holding my hand and all that. And so like, whatever. Before he was gonna leave, he pretty much like waited and made sure I sent him the video right then and there. Which, you know, okay, fair. I was probably going to delete it if he left, so whatever. Yeah, we did continue the relationship after that. But, yeah, the main thing I do want to talk about, and I guess could be considered a form of SA. I've just had a hard time coming to terms with it, and because I did like him and it was consensual, I wanted a relationship. And I just feel like this part specifically I want to mention, like as a single mom myself, or just as any woman who is wanting a family and a future and love like that. If you guys talk about this on the first date, this signals that it's, you know, that that's like a clear potential, that it's, okay, wait, is this more than just like a quick hookup? Like, I was cool with that, you know, like, okay, if that's what this is, you know, like, you have your thing, like, nice to see you, meet you, bye. But he made it clear he wanted to continue a relationship, And he even mentioned that there's been issues in the past because of his, like, you know, he didn't want to say his ego and, you know, with his whatever platform. And I guess he was referring to these allegations that happened prior to us meeting. He just really made it, like, he did, we talked about consent and, you know, he did afterwards. And the whole thing. And so he did seem pretty genuine and, like, you know, maybe he says this to everybody, maybe he doesn't, you know, maybe, you know, it was genuine. But at this point, I don't think it was. I feel like it was like an emotional manipulation. And it goes a little deeper and I don't want to get emotional. And this is why I even brought this up, because of, you know, how deep my emotions did get. And it just really sucks. I didn't want to come forward because I do care about him and I don't want this to hurt him anymore, but it needs to be said. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I met Andrew Callahan almost a couple years ago now, and last spoke to him maybe this spring or summer. We had an intimate relationship and I thought it was mostly consensual. But he did always push my boundaries and, you know, felt pressured at times. There have been many things that have been huge red flags that I've clearly stayed blind to. But the last time I saw him and we were intimate together, I feel like he took advantage of the fact I liked him so much and pretty much went stealth on me, technically. We've been very clear about wearing condoms from the first day we met. Since I am a single mom, and I'm not on birth control, and, you know, I won't choose abortion for myself at this point in my life. And he was fully aware of that. He still chose to insert his penis without a condom, and I didn't realize until he was already going, and, you know, I liked him so much, I just let it continue, and I even felt like maybe this was a step towards, you know, maybe something more serious. He knew I wanted a relationship. We talked about it multiple times. I've even cut off the relationship, saying I didn't want to hook up, and then he pretty much got me back because he said, you know, other things I'll get into. But yeah, I do have a serious fear of STDs, and I knew Andrew had a list of bitches, which is something that he said, or a list of bitches down for a threesome specifically. And so, like, I can only imagine how many lists he has at this point after reading some of these things I've been seeing. But yeah, it just grossed me out. And so I asked him later if he gets checked for STDs. It's really important to me, my sexual health. He claims that he actively does go to get checked and he never has sex without protection, which is totally a lie. Now that I've read some things, he just wanted to make me feel special or, like, downplay the fact he technically, like, assaulted me. Like, I didn't see it like that because, you know, I wanted that and I, you know, I refused to see it like that. Even though I have mentioned it to people and they're like, oh, you know, like, yeah, whatever. I never felt I could talk about this and the other instances where he didn't actually respect my boundaries, because I do work in the adult entertainment industry. And
yeah, stealthing is a form of rape. If you're unaware, it's the practice of either not wearing a condom or removing a condom mid-sex without the consent of your partner knowing that you're doing that.
I'm so opposite of social climbing and clout chasing to the point I refuse to work with other creators and I only create solo content. I don't collaborate and even network, and I suffer with PTSD and severe anxiety disorder. I have pretty bad panic attacks. Here I am. I've stopped dating completely and been abstinent after what happened with Andrew. It's actually affected other parts of my life. I feel pathetic talking about, I never made a big deal to him directly besides checking the STD thing. It's just because I was holding back anger, honestly, and I'm
I wanted to be calm and bring it up to him in person so that we could really discuss it. I knew his influence in the social media world and it could seriously affect my work, especially because he has direct connections with many top adult industry creators. Like, so I just had no, I had every reason not to say anything and not think and just, you know, let it go. So I couldn't stand by and not share my story because, you know, I've been seeing all these things, especially like the fact that he was looking for love and stuff. And, you know, I'm not butthurt by that. Yeah. He really crossed my boundaries. And I hold that very sacred, you know, yeah, condom is a condom and you're still doing that act, but it's, you know, protecting that skin to skin contact. And, just like the emotional manipulation that went like throughout the entire everything just to like continue it and to keep me coming back. It definitely hurts. And it's very manipulative and I can only imagine that he's doing it to other people that want serious relationships, even though he's clearly not ready. But as long as he's, I think he has potential to be the person that everyone thinks he is. I know that he was what it seemed to be working on consent and those communications, but he just never continued it and he hasn't responded since. So at this point, he's clearly going back to his old ways, or just he needs to confront the situation. I'm just here to help.
So this is obviously an incredibly serious story. I think this one just came out today as well. So there's, like we've already said when we're talking about Andrew, there's a long pattern of him, you know, clearly creating a multitude of different, you know, everything from sexual harassment to sexual assault to physical assault. In this case, this is an accusation of stealthing, which is yet again another form of sexual assault. Like I said, I don't think that statement that he made does anything more than basically set up the pieces to be able to be like, well, how could we get back to doing business as usual in 3 months, 4 months? Okay, let's go down this road. Let's do these steps, right? And in case of the story, of course, obviously, these are incredibly complicated situations to be in for people in any way. I don't know, you know, everyone who's watching me, obviously, I don't think I'm preaching to anyone, but anyone who's unaware, consistently trying to coerce someone into having sex with you for a variety of ways, whether that is stating that you want to be in a relationship with them when you don't want to be in a relationship with them, stating that you want to have kids with them when you don't intend on having kids with them, stating that you love them when you don't love them, doing anything in service of maybe can they have sex with me if I just do the right code here, if I figure it out, will they finally give in? That's you trying to coerce them into sex. That's not consensual. Even if you're in what feels to be a relationship, the other partner, and in this case this is an example of someone else, and this is of course the allegations, but the other party is doing more than they would have felt comfortable doing otherwise, because the person is leading them on, saying, hey, by the way, I see you've got a kid, I've always wanted kids, I want to be serious, blah blah blah, by the way, here's also the list of people we can have threesomes with and all this other kind of shit. And yeah, this is obviously a heartbreaking story, very difficult to listen to. I mean, very important, obviously, to listen to the victims once again. But Jesus Christ, it is an overwhelming amount of just nonstop horrifying stories coming out about this guy. Genuinely, to the people who are just like at this point, oh well, case closed. You know, I watched the apology. I saw it. We're good now. He's come out and said that you know, he's willing to have the conversation and he's going to go seek help for the alcoholism, and that'll be the next part. There's no question, by the way, outside of the Andrew Callahan fucking horror show, there's no question that it needs to be a lot of modern day conversations, healthy conversations about difference in dynamics as, again, people work towards, you know, dismantling things like patriarchy. There is going to be difference in dynamics between relationships, how people engage sexually with each other, different roles and dynamics between gender. All incredibly and important conversations to have. You know, I'm sure a lot of men who have been on the other side of this have felt multiple times perhaps coerced into sex, because I got people in my replies when I was talking about how Andrew Callahan needs to directly apologize to the victims, and I was listing the reasons why. Like, there were dudes in the replies being like, well, this has happened to me. I didn't think that I was, like, sexually assaulted. Like, yeah, maybe I didn't want to have sex with this one girl at a party, and she kept saying, and she kept trying and persisting, and eventually I was like, oh, fine, we had sex, but whatever, I got laid, so that's that, right? I was like, well, no, because, like, you're not enthusiastically trying to have consent. It just sounds like someone wore you down, and eventually you're like, oh, well, pussy's pussy, bro, I'm supposed to want this, so here we go. And that's like, no, that's that person is also coercing you into having sex with them. That doesn't make it okay in the other direction. You know, even if this is probably something predominantly that happens to women from, you know, straight men in that direction. But yes, obviously important conversations to have, that those can be had independent of also outright condemning a lot of the things that you are seeing coming out on a regular basis about Andrew. The story I had planned for today was the two stories from The Stranger. And then this one I just saw on the Channel 5 subreddit, being like, yet another person has come out with a pretty detailed story of stealthing done by Andrew Callahan in this story. So, yeah, I think it's I think people should demand better. You should demand better of a public figure seeking restorative justice or whatever in terms of, like, it can't just be like, you know, I have nothing but empathy. I'm devastated by what's been said. You don't know the full story. I'm going to seek help and get assistance. Money should never be involved in these kind of things, says the lawyer. There's two sides to every story. Yeah, you know, that doesn't help push back against any of the inherent problems across the board from people reinforcing this kind of shit.
Do you enjoy the SERPs but prefer not to have to use your eyeballs? Many are saying this. Well, we've got the solution for you. It's the SERP Times in podcast form, available on most major podcasting networks now. If you enjoy it, please consider leaving a good review and feedback, because it really helps the show out, apparently, and it's free, just like the podcast.
To our gods, Xander Corvus and Peyton L. Juice, we shall spend many a generations building mighty cathedrals in your honor. To our monarch, Tom Spiker, we are but your oafish jesters, here to offer you a laugh at any opportunity. To our brave Knights of the Round Table, Rachel K., Izzy Solidarity, Victoria Bell, Sebastian Demel, Mark Harmon, Benji Arnie, Scary Earth Human, Tony, DM Rivera, Resident Scarecrow, Sir Nickus, Cheryl Alvarez, Ruby Kelly, Brandon, Words Greenwood, Everything Important, Hegbert Celine, Matthew Scarborough, Stellar Vision, Ariane McCarthy, Doug Cady, Daniel Sutton, Jenna Tao, Dark Puppy, Quiet One 85, Anna Loves Riley, Omni, Riley and Anna, Poodlehawk, Multimondi, Trevbot EXE, Brian Ephraim, Anthropofojak, Catherine, Ramon Acosta, Nkosin, Ralph Parler, Violent Orchard, Political Puppy, La Media Panza, Todd Buckingham, and Todd Lajeunesse. We salute our valiant heroes off to fight injustice everywhere.